All right, so today we're diving deep into a book that might not be in the top of everyone's reading list.
Yeah.
The Book of Chronicles.
Right.
You know, the one that starts with what feels like a million names.
A lot of genealogies, yes.
Yeah, lots of genealogies. But we're here to tell you that it's way more interesting than it gets credit for. And we have the perfect person to help us unlock this book.
Yes.
Chronicles expert, Dr. August Konkle.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. I, for one, am ready to have my mind blown.
Yeah.
Because I've heard that there's some surprising stuff in Chronicles.
Oh, absolutely.
Like how it connects to the idea of the kingdom of God that Jesus talks about.
Yeah, that's one of the really key things about Chronicles.
Wow. And I've also heard something about, like, political intrigue surrounding this, like, little-known state called Yehud.
Yehud, yeah, absolutely.
And how understanding Chronicles can, like, actually help us better understand the concept of Israel today.
Right. That's one of the key things about Chronicles, that it really does set the stage for how later Judaism and then Christianity understands the term Israel.
Wow. That's amazing. All right. So let's start with the basics. I think a lot of people, when they think about Chronicles, they think about, like, it's just a retelling of the stories from Kings and Samuel.
Right, yeah.
So what makes Chronicles unique?
So Chronicles is often seen as just a kind of a dry retelling of Kings, as you say.
Yeah.
But it's really important to understand that Chronicles was written for a specific audience.
Okay.
And that audience is the people of Yehud.
Yehud. All right. So for our listeners, can you tell us, like, who were the people of Yehud?
Sure. So the people of Yehud were those who were living in a small state centered around Jerusalem after the return from exile.
Okay.
And they're part of the larger Persian Empire.
Got it. So, like, geographically, we're talking about, like, the same area as the kingdoms of Israel and Judah.
Yeah, essentially the same area as the old kingdom of Judah. Yep. But it's really important to recognize that it's not simply a restoration of Judah.
Oh, interesting. So it's not like, okay, we're back, we're picking up where we left off.
No, it's a brand new entity.
Oh, wow. So imagine you're, like, one of these people living in Yehud. You're surrounded by this massive empire.
Yeah.
And you're, like, little state is just this tiny piece of the puzzle.
Right.
Like, what does that do to your sense of identity, you know?
Right. And that's exactly where Chronicles comes in.
Okay.
It's a message of hope and resilience for the people of Yehud.
Okay.
Reminding them that their true identity isn't rooted in political power or, you know, geographic boundaries.
Right.
But it's in their covenant with God.
Okay. So it's less about where you are.
Yeah.
And more about who you are as God's chosen people.
Precisely.
Got it. So how does the chronicler go about, like, reinterpreting these events from Kings and Samuel? Like, what does he focus on that's different?
Well, one example would be the story of King David bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. In 2 Samuel, you have this really joyous scene of celebration.
Uh-huh.
David's dancing before the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, I can totally picture that. You know, David just, like, totally letting loose.
Right.
Dancing with all his might.
Exactly.
Awesome.
But then when you go to 1 Chronicles, the chronicler adds this really interesting detail.
Okay.
He tells us that David and the Levites also offered burnt offerings and peace offerings.
Okay.
They blessed the people in the name of the Lord.
So it's like he's adding this layer of, like, religious ritual and ceremony to really emphasize, like, the sacredness of the Ark.
Exactly.
And its connection to the temple.
Right.
And it's like he's saying, like, look, even the greatest king knew that worshiping God was, like, the most important thing.
That's exactly right.
And especially, you know, talking to the people of Yehud who are trying to rebuild their lives.
Yes.
And their faith after exile.
That's right.
That would have been a really powerful message for them, I think.
Absolutely. And this focus on religious devotion is woven throughout Chronicles.
Yeah.
And it's a constant reminder to the people of Yehud that even though their political situation has changed,
right,
their relationship with God remains the bedrock of their identity.
This is already changing how I see Chronicles. It's not just like a boring history book. It's this, like, powerful message of hope and resilience.
Yeah.
Tailored specifically for this group of people who are, like, struggling to find their place in a changing world.
Exactly.
Wow.
And here's where it gets even more interesting. Because one of the central themes running through Chronicles is this idea of the kingdom of God.
The kingdom of God. Wait, isn't that a New Testament concept? Like, isn't that something that, like, Jesus talks about all the time?
You're right. But the seeds of that idea are planted right here in Chronicles.
Wow, okay.
The chronicler emphasizes God's promise to King David about an everlasting kingdom.
Okay.
And this kingdom isn't about, you know, earthly power or political boundaries. It's about God's presence and rule among his people.
So it's like less about a physical kingdom and more about this idea of like God's reign in the hearts of his people.
Exactly.
Wow, that's really cool. So it's like this concept laid out in Chronicles lays the groundwork for like Jesus' teachings about the kingdom of God centuries later.
That's right.
It's like we're seeing the foundation being built for like one of the most central ideas in Christianity.
Yeah, absolutely.
That blows my mind. So we've got this book written for a specific audience facing like these unique challenges. And yet it contains these like timeless truths about faith and identity and God's enduring promises.
That's great.
That's really amazing.
And there's one more piece of this puzzle that I think is incredibly relevant, not just for the people of Yehud, but for us today as well.
Okay.
And that's how Chronicles redefines what it means to be Israel.
Israel. Now, that's a word we hear all the time, especially in the news.
Right.
But you're saying Chronicles gives us like a different perspective on that.
Absolutely. Okay.
So the chronicler is very intentional about how he uses that term Israel.
Okay.
For him, it's not just a geographical place or a political entity. Okay. It's about something much deeper.
So it's not just about the land or who controls it.
Exactly. Okay. For the chronicler, Israel represents the people of God.
Okay.
Those who are bound to him by covenant and promise.
Okay, so think about it. The people of Yehud, they've lost their land.
Right.
Their kingdom. Their political independence.
That's right.
So their sense of identity can't be tied to those things anymore.
Right.
So the chronicler is giving them this new understanding of Israel that transcends geography and politics and is rooted in the relationship with God.
Precisely.
It's about like identity and belonging.
Yeah.
Not just physical location.
That's right.
That's a powerful idea. I mean, that has implications for like how we understand the Bible and history and even like current events.
Okay. I am totally hooked. This is way more fascinating than I ever imagined. So we've got this seemingly obscure book that's actually packed with insights about faith and identity and the nature of God's people. But how does this all connect to the world today? How does understanding Israel in this like broader sense impact how we view current events?
That's a great question, and it's one we'll explore in our next segment.
Okay.
Yeah. When we delve into the implications of this expanded view of Israel for understanding the complexities of the modern world and our own place within it.
Okay, looking forward to that. This has been eye-opening already, so thank
you. You're welcome.
All right, we'll be back after a short break. Okay, so we've talked about how Chronicles isn't just a boring history book, you know. It's this really powerful message of hope and resilience for the people of Yehud. And it gives us this really broad view of Israel that goes way beyond just geography and politics. But how does all this connect to the world we live in today? I mean, how does this ancient understanding of Israel help us understand what's going on in the world right now, especially all the stuff surrounding the modern state of Israel and the conflict in the Middle East?
That's a really important question, and it's a place where things can get kind of complicated. Because on the surface, you know, it might seem like Chronicles is supporting this idea that there's a specific nation, a specific piece of land that's super important to God's plan.
Right. If Israel is all about this special relationship with God, this covenant, and then we're talking about an actual place called Israel, it's easy to see how people might just connect those two things directly.
Exactly. But I think we got to dig a little deeper here. Remember, the chronicler is writing to people who've lost their land, their kingdom. They're living under the rule of a foreign empire. And he's telling them that their true identity isn't about those things. It's about their relationship with God.
So he's saying that the idea of Israel isn't tied to a specific government or a specific territory.
Exactly. And when we look at the New Testament, we see this idea becoming even more important. The early church, with both Jewish and Gentile believers, saw themselves as the new Israel, carrying on this special relationship with God. And they were spread all over the Roman Empire, not just in one place.
So the idea of Israel as God's chosen people gets even bigger. It's not about ethnicity or geography anymore. It's about sharing faith in Jesus Christ.
Exactly. It becomes about a spiritual connection, a spiritual identity that goes beyond national borders and ethnic differences. And this is where I think Chronicles has something really important to teach us about how we understand what's happening in the world today.
Okay, I'm really interested to hear this. How can this broader, more spiritual way of understanding Israel help us figure out these tough conversations about the modern state of Israel and the conflicts in the Middle East?
Well, I think the first thing is that it makes us approach these issues with a lot more humility and care. Because honestly, the situation is super complicated. There's a lot of history, a lot of pain on all sides.
Yeah, and if we go into these conversations with the really rigid idea of what Israel means, like it's all about land and power, then we're missing all the other important details. It's like we get stuck in this us versus them mindset, and that doesn't really reflect what's actually happening.
That's right. But when we look at Israel through the lens of Chronicles, we see that Great Covenant, this special agreement, it isn't limited by those kinds of boundaries. It's open to anyone who wants to have a relationship with him, no matter their background, ethnicity, or political views.
It's like Chronicles is inviting us to stop listening to all the political talk and the news headlines for a minute and look at things from a more spiritual perspective, you know, a more human perspective.
Exactly. It's about seeing that everyone involved is human, that there's pain and suffering on all sides, and looking for solutions based on justice, compassion, and a real desire for peace.
That's a really powerful message, and it feels so relevant today when the world feels so divided by religion and politics.
Absolutely. And it doesn't mean ignoring the very real political and territorial issues. It means looking at them with a different attitude, one that's shaped by this deeper understanding of Israel as a spiritual community, a family of faith that goes beyond any one nation or ethnic group.
I feel like Chronicles is giving us a way to start a conversation, to build bridges, even when things are really difficult.
I think that's a great way to put it, because in the end, Chronicles reminds us that God's love, God's grace, it's big enough for all of us. It's not limited by borders on a map or labels we put on ourselves. And that message can change how we see the world, how we treat each other, and how we look for peace and justice in our own time.
This has been so helpful. It feels like we've learned so much more than just historical facts. It's like we've been wrestling with these huge ideas about faith, identity, belonging, and how those ideas affect how we see the world around us.
And that's really what Chronicles is all about. It's a book that makes us think hard, connect ancient wisdom to today's challenges, and find those timeless truths that still affect our lives today.
So we've talked about the history behind Chronicles, how it reinterprets the stories from Kings, its message of hope for the people of Yehud, and this bigger idea of Israel that goes beyond geography and politics. But there's one more thing I'm curious about. You said earlier that Chronicles points to the kingdom of God in a way that kind of foreshadows what Jesus teaches. Can you explain that a little more? How does Chronicles set the stage for this super important idea in Christianity?
Yeah, definitely. This is where we can see how brilliant the chronicler really is. He's not just telling a story. He's creating a narrative that points to something even bigger and deeper. And this idea of the kingdom of God is a perfect example of that.
Okay, so break it down for me. What does Chronicles say about the kingdom of God, and how does that connect to what Jesus teaches?
Well, like we talked about before, the main theme in Chronicles is the promise God made to King David about a kingdom that will last forever. But this isn't just about a physical kingdom, a dynasty ruling over a certain piece of land.
Right, we talked about how it's more about God's reign, God's presence with his people, no matter where they are.
Exactly, and the chronicler really emphasizes this point. He highlights David's faith, his dedication to God, his role in building the temple in Jerusalem as the main place of worship. He's showing us David as a model king, not because he won battles or was a clever politician, but because he was totally committed to God.
So he's setting up this idea that being a true king, a true leader, is about following God's will, being someone who brings God's reign into the world.
That's it. And this is where we see a clear connection to Jesus. Because when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he's picking up on this same idea. He's saying that true power and authority don't come from military strength or political control, but from being humble, serving others, and being totally dedicated to loving God and loving your neighbor.
It's like Chronicles is laying the groundwork for this totally different way of seeing power and leadership, a way that Jesus lived out and taught. It shifts the focus from kingdoms here on earth to a spiritual kingdom, a kingdom built on love, justice, and compassion.
Exactly. And this connection between Chronicles and the Gospels is really amazing because it shows that these ideas, these values, they're not just random things someone came up with. They're rooted in the history of God's people. They're woven into the Bible. And they have the power to change how we live, how we see our place in the world, and how we build a more just and compassionate society.
This is incredible. It's like Chronicles is a hidden treasure chest filled with insights that is important today as they were back then. But I gotta ask, How does it all end? What's the final message, the final takeaway that the chronicler wants to leave us with?
That's a great question, and it's one we'll explore in our last segment as we look at the final chapters of the book and discover the lasting message of hope and promise that the chronicler offers to everyone who wants to be part of God's kingdom.
Okay, so we've gone through all those genealogies, right? And we've found these hidden messages about hope and resilience. And we've even, like, redefined what it means to be Israel. But we got to wrap this up sometime, right? So what's the final message? What's the big takeaway that the chronicler wants us to remember when we finish reading this book?
Well, you know, it's interesting because Chronicles doesn't end with, like, this big happy celebration. It actually ends kind of abruptly with this decree from King Cyrus of Persia that says the exiled Israelites can go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple.
Wait, really? It ends like on a cliffhanger. That doesn't seem very hopeful, you know, or satisfying. It's like ending a movie before the good guys win.
Yeah, it might seem that way at first, but think about it from the perspective of the people who were reading this back then, the people of Yehud. You know, they're living in this weird in-between time, this time of change and uncertainty. And the book doesn't end with a victory parade. It ends with a call to action, like an invitation to join God in this ongoing work of restoring and renewing things.
So it's not about, like, everyone living happily ever after. It's more about, like, an open invitation to be a part of something bigger than themselves.
Exactly. It's like a reminder that God's story doesn't just end when you close the book. It keeps going. It keeps unfolding in the lives of his people, you know, in their choices, in their actions, in their faithfulness. And that's a message that's just as powerful for us today.
I'm starting to see how ending on a cliffhanger might actually be more hopeful than a neat and tidy ending. Because it makes you feel like the story's not over. We're still in it. We still have a part to play in God's plan.
That's right. And I think that's why the real takeaway from Chronicles isn't so much a specific teaching or belief. It's more like a way of being in the world. It's about living with this awareness that we're part of something huge, something that goes way back in history and is still happening today.
So it's about understanding that connection to the past, to the future, and realizing that we have to keep moving forward with it, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not about building actual temples or kingdoms. It's about living out the values we see in Chronicles, like faithfulness, devotion, compassion, and a commitment to justice. It's about letting God's character shine through us and making the world a place that reflects his values.
This has been incredible. We started with a book that seemed kind of boring, mm-hmm. and now it's like this deep well of hope and responsibility and the power of God's promise.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of really digging into the scriptures. There's always something new to find, something new to learn, something that challenges us.
Well, I want to thank you for helping us explore Chronicles. You've helped us see so much more than I ever thought possible and connect those ancient ideas to the challenges we face today.
My pleasure. And remember, the journey doesn't end here. Keep exploring, keep asking questions, keep trying to understand more deeply. There's so much waiting to be discovered in the scriptures.
And to everyone listening, that's our challenge to you. Keep diving deep.